Well, we've had a long-term strategy of always looking along the grower's supply chain for where we can add value or secure value, capture value from being made from our growers' grains. And we often talk about our growers' grains and our growers' markets. And clearly, of course, we've been very involved with wheat, and we've made the step into the malting industry with our new maltings in Vietnam. And so oats was the next cab off the rank. And then once you pick that, you then look for quality assets that can bring expertise and knowledge that and a business that we believe can grow. And BLM really fitted the bill.
What does this acquisition signify in the broader scheme of things for the grand CBH plan, I guess?
Well, it signifies exactly what it is. It's us continuing to look for where we think we can capture value from our growers' grains and along their supply chain. So that's the big plan has always been that, and it's another step in it. Of course, they are bringing some great expertise in how to process oats and fantastic customer relationships. They are providing products into some of the most well-known brands, and that is something we can clearly expand.
What are some of those? What are some of the products?
They are supplying the major supermarkets, the big-name supermarkets that we know, with some of their own brands. And then they're also, when you walk down the breakfast aisle, you will see products that are containing oats that are coming from Blue Lake Milling. So they have a very wide sweep of products, instant oats, quick oats, and they even make premixes and mueslis for different customers. So a really accomplished business. And it was wonderful for me to actually visit more of the plant yesterday and see the quality of the plant they have and the staff.
What capacity does the company have at the moment, and what are your plans for it?
They have two plants, one in Bordertown and one in Dimboola, and they're producing about 60,000 tonnes of finished product each year. So that's, you know, it would take about 90,000 tonnes of oats, give or take. So a very healthy size of facility already. It's not undersized. It's got a good commercial scale to it. There's certainly room within their own facilities to expand, but of course we'll take our time to look at that. It's a great business already, and we want to learn from them and work with them of how we can help them grow. It's been a family business, and they've got great culture there in the way they run the business, lean and mean, and we can bring additional firepower to be able to help grow.
Does it mean more oats will be grown in Western Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we bought a business that's in South Australia, but that's the first step for getting the expertise and the skills, and it's absolutely the right business. Interestingly, we have actually shipped in the last 12 months well over 20,000, I think it's getting close to 25,000 tonnes of oats from WA to them themselves. So there are years when oats are short, and we can provide that. But our aim ultimately is to ensure that our growers here in WA have a range of crop options to grow. You can't grow wheat on wheat on wheat forever, and ensuring the viability of other crops such as lupins and oats to form parts of our growers' rotation is something else we can do. Job one is run a low-cost supply chain to market. Job two, generate rebates from sensible allied investments. And three, if we can help keep some of the key crops that grow well in Western Australia accessing premium markets, then that's something else that a grower cooperative can do for our members.
Andy Crane, in the paper today in the West, I read that it cost you around about $40 million to purchase Blue Lake Milling. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know where that number came from. It seems to be an estimate by the author there, but that number's commercial in confidence. We've only just finished negotiating, and the ink is only drying on a deal which we've done with a family business. The financials of that business we'll be talking about directly with our growers in good time, but at the moment that number's confidential.
Is it in the ballpark, though?
I'm not commenting any further, as I said.
Well, if we have a look at your other significant investment in years gone by, they were the flour mills overseas. How does it compare to that in comparison? What, about $100 million, wasn't it?
You can keep having a go, Belinda. I'm not going to start narrowing it down for you. Today is all about another step in our growers controlling their supply chain and their destiny and earning returns from allied investments and bringing that back and using that to lower their supply chain costs. It's a great development.
Well, it's interesting, just, you know, in recent times, it wasn't that many weeks ago that we were talking about the fact that you've now invested into the fertiliser business. Now with this acquisition of Blue Lake Milling, a significant purchase, so we don't know the figure, but I would imagine a significant cost anyway. And at the same time, squabbling with Brookfield Rail over the price that Brookfield has put forward to CBH. Can you just try and explain to us that situation, while that little argument continues, and still prepared to fork out significant sums of money on other enterprises?
Absolutely. I think as an organisation, we have to both, as I've said, our first job is to work on the low-cost supply chain for our growers, and we pump significant amounts of capital into that network every single year, a minimum of $85 million a year, and when we've had big crops, we've boosted that to almost $150 million. So, we will continue to invest in that and work on keeping the supply chain fees as low as possible and the lowest in Australia that we can achieve. At the same time, our investments along the supply chain are ensuring that we can continue to do that. It's important that the business grows appropriately, generates returns that continue to support that core business. So nothing ever moved from core businesses, storing the grain, moving it to port and putting it on ships. And our work with an investment in the trains and our discussions with Brookfield are around ensuring that that bit of the business works well. But that should not consume our every waking moment. It's a crucial part of the viability of an export supply chain, and it's in addition to other work that we do to ensure the viability of CBH. CBH has been around for over 80 years. My job is, and the board's job is, to make sure that there's sustainability there. And the board has been very proactive in getting me and the team to go and look up and down the supply chain. And I think, you know, up the chain towards fertilizer has been a significant focus that the board wanted us to look at. And I'm really pleased that we've made a start there. And as a CEO, they expect me to have several balls in the air, not just the one. So, I'm glad that we're tackling them all.
Well, what are the other balls then? What else have you got your eye on?
Well, I think these are pretty big and good for the moment. As I've said, we're building a maltings in Vietnam. That's no small feat in its own right, continuing to grow into flour. We have our looping dehulling plant that continuing to try and ensure that can grow to a point that and get lupins well introduced into the human food chain, the oats, and then, of course, fertilizer, which is no small task in its own right. So there's one thing planning, another one getting them started, and the rest is implementation, which is where the hard work goes. So no, we've got our sleeves rolled up for the next phases of those implementations.
Andy Crane, good to talk to you. Thanks for that.
Thanks very much, Belinda.